follow me with your shape-shifting smiles and I see you. Maybe they'll believe you. Illuminati, occult, dawn trap, silver discs and hidden files and we see you. We've got to believe you.
Blast off on another epic episode of the Hyper Anomalous Esoteric Research Organization podcast, also known as Hero Paranormal. My name is Ryan, the Anomalous Ambassador of the Airwaves, broadcasting from just south of the old Sherman Ranch, a place we like to call SpaceWolfResearch.com, and I've got an amazing guest today. He is very knowledgeable in a bunch of things, but this is going to blow your minds. Another thing that will blow your minds is if you head on over to heroparanormal.com, don't be scared of that subscribe button. For the price of a cup of coffee a month, you can access all the content over there. You can also support the podcast. I've added some stuff if you click on the store tab. That will take you to my eBay, and I've got all kinds of things over there that help support the podcast. And anything you purchase there will help with laptops, microphones, you get the idea. Websites. I mean, it's not cheap, but I'm going to keep it coming because there's so much going on, and it's no different today. Dr. True Ott joins us here from Utah as well with an amazing array of information that is going to blow your mind. So buckle up, prepare to blast off on this one. With no further ado, Dr. True Ott, welcome to the Hero Paranormal Podcast.
Thank you, Ryan. And just let me just say off the bat, right off the top, my goodness, it's good to talk to somebody that has a brain anymore and can piece together things on his own. And that's you. My hat's off to some good work you've been doing lately. So thank you.
Oh my goodness, it's so interesting. There, not to get off topic, because you've got some amazing information that I'm tantalized by, but it does seem as if everybody has kind of gotten into line. They are following the narratives and ignoring a lot of things that otherwise I think would be on everybody's mind. We just kind of believe what we're told, go up to the feeder troughs, get our vaccinations, go out to the field, and then let the farmers have their way with us. But yeah, let's break out of the herd a little bit. Let's tell listeners a little bit about what we're going to delve into, because it is a very, very big topic. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely it is. And keep in mind, I began investigating this in the 80s, believe it or not, in the mid-80s. And we've had a little bit of discussion on this. I graduated, actually, from the university in accounting, and I was actually very skilled in forensics auditing, okay? And because, really, when you understand money, it is the ultimate trail. You want to find, I mean, who took down Al Capone? Okay, the accountants did. You follow the money, you find the evidence. It's always been that way. It goes back to scripture, I submit, where we, indeed, this is the big truth. The love of money is the root of all evil. I emphasize all evil. It is the root of it all, Brian. It truly is. It's greed that manifests. It's motivation of really why people would murder to get gain. It's the whole reason for the drug cartels. It's the whole reason for the human trafficking. It's the whole root of all evil. And let's be upfront and frank with that, right? So, golly, going back into the 80s, I won this National Aptitude contest, and I was awarded this scholarship back to Wall Street. So only like 20-something people were allowed to get this basically behind-the-scenes view of what moves Wall Street. I mean, this guy you're talking to rang the bell on Wall Street to open the trading and watch the feeding frenzy of the sharks begin.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there and done that in the 80s, Ryan, okay? So what I'm telling you now kind of is the culmination of 40 years. I was a young, good-looking guy like you one time, but now I'm 65, but it's been something that I've been digging into and researching for over 40 years, since the 80s, okay? All right, let me make that very clear. So, yeah, it's a big story, but it really is the root of all evil. We can talk about different things, but, man, I just got to say up front that a private investigator friend of mine talked to me yesterday. He says, I've been watching this Netflix documentary called The Octopus Murders. Have you heard anything about it? And I said, no. Tell me about it. He said, yeah, I just watched the first episode. It's talking about a guy named Danny Consolero. I said, what? He goes, yeah, the murder of Danny Consolero. And I just stopped. I said, oh, my God. I know this story intimately. Chris, my friend's name is Chris. He goes, why does that not surprise me? back in the day, you know, I started my radio show, The Story Behind the Story, which is really, you know, with the advent of technology and computers, Ryan, as you know, your Hero Paranormal podcast, there's hundreds, if not maybe thousands, of podcasters. That's good. It's people are saying, I got some information, and I'm going to put it out there. But there's good podcasts, in my opinion, and those that just are just flailing away, you know, just trying to make a name. And unfortunately, some of the worst podcasters have the most followers. So I just got to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're one of the better ones. Okay. Your intellect is amazing. You're on topic, and you can put the pieces together very well. And it's a shame you don't have maybe tens of thousands of viewers, and that you just you're small. You need to grow, basically. And if I can help you do that with the story, it's all good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with that premise, shall we? The love of money is indeed the root of all evil, and it goes back to what I was told as I went back to Wall Street. The last executive speaker was none other than Paul Volcker of the Federal Reserve of New York. I mean, this is, you think it's the top of the money food chain, right?
You would think.
Yeah. He basically, I'll just summate, because we've got a lot to cover here, but he basically said the men that I work for,
wow,
have told me that it may not happen in my lifetime, but there will come a time where this, and he pulled up a $100,000 Federal Reserve note with Woodrow Wilson, you know, on the face of it, is not going to have any more value than this. And he pulled, held up a George Washington $1 bill. And I just thought, what in the world? Because, I mean, I'm going down the freeway in a Ferrari at 150 miles per hour, and I just got my gear stripped. I just hit reverse. It's like,
mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. What do you mean the money? See, I had to unravel all this. I was young, 24, 25 years old, just recently married, a young family. I was more focused on making millions of those dollar bills and becoming a millionaire. And by the time I'm 30, that was my goal. I didn't want to hear that the money's worthless. I didn't want to hear that there's a machinations going on. that the elite know that you don't focus on these. You focus on gold and silver. That's the only thing that matters in their world. It just blew me away, right? So flying back to, I flew out of Las Vegas, and I was living in Cedar City. But flying back home, it just hit me. Who the hell are his bosses? Who the hell directs Paul Volcker, the chair of the Federal Reserve? And I would ask the question, who directs Jerome Powell today? Who is his? He's not the top of the food chain. Who does he follow orders from? See, that's the questions I had. I was writing this down, and that began my search to find that out. Okay? Mm-hmm. Well, follow the money, the root of all evil, and you uncover a lot more than I was about. I didn't know what I was going to be digging into, but I put the pieces together. It led me to different areas. I hooked up with he moved from L.A. to Las Vegas, bureau chief of the Los Angeles field office of the FBI, Ted Gunderson. I got to know Ted, and he had three or four really good private investigators. He liked what I could do to help dig in. He told me many times, as a retired field officer, he says I can't have regular FBI working. I need to have private people to give a shit, you know. And a private investigator, the best one is a really good investigative journalist. And that's where he pointed, where he thought I fit in. And so we had weekly, sometimes daily conversations on the topic of following the money. Okay. So this is again in the mid 80s. There was this following the money trail. I really uncovered what occurred back in the whole origins in 1913. Ed Griffin and he did a great book called The Creature from Jekyll Island. What most people don't realize is that in 1913, not only was the Federal Reserve System of Banks formed as a for-profit corporation, totally separate. They call it Federal Reserve. It's no more federal than Federal Express is government. It's a private corporation. Mm-hmm. Okay? Its sister corporation, Siamese Twin, was the Internal Revenue Service, formed at the same time. IRS formed, Federal Reserve formed in 1913. You follow the money now, right? Follow what's going on, and you see that it's about control. The Federal Reserve does not need to have taxes collected and levied. They don't. Think about it. There's a Federal Reserve through their structure called the Exchange Stabilization Fund, the ESF, which is really the core. These are the people, these are the bosses of the Paul Volckers and the Jerome Powells. These are the people at the top of the financial food chain, okay? And it's so amazing because not one American in 10,000 understands this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But once you pull back the curtain and see the man behind the Wizard of Oz screen, the green screen, okay, it starts to all make sense. So the ESF was actually formally put together in 1934 under FDR, part of the New Deal, right? Keep in mind, in 1934, we're in the midst of the Great Depression. The New Deal is coming back in, trying to restructure it. Banks are closed all over the place. It's a new system. And it's all culminating, of course, with the rise of Adolf Hitler in Europe. Not accidental. See, we're talking about a beast now that wants to control the entire world, financial beast. And this is the organization in 1934 of the Exchange Stabilization Fund. It's so well, so such a big secret, not many people have even heard of the ESS. That's why, you know, it's been successful. All right, so we see in 1934 the formation of this octopus, this tentacle, and how it began to go into the epicenter of the European finance, which is really Brussels, Belgium. And what I'm going to tell you, just do a Google search, ladies and gentlemen, if you listen to this. Just Google search the Beast computer history in Brussels, Belgium. You'll be shocked to see that this computer origins began in the advent of computers were actually, I think, formed to track financial transactions of the International Monetary Fund in Brussels, Belgium. That's why it was made, to track all of the money, okay, that's going out through the ESF, Exchange Stabilization Fund. Exchange of what? International currencies, folks. FX, foreign exchange. Exchange money, monetary. You control that. You go back to Rothschild's quote in the 1800s, and it's a famous quote. I want to just say it again. Give me control, Baron Rothschild said, give me control over a nation's currency, and I care not who makes its laws. That's so important. The root of the money is the root of all evil. And multiply that out, because the Rothschild brothers, extending into the European, in the city of London, France, Brussels, Belgium, Germany, even into the Orient, folks. That's the International Monetary Fund, the IMF. It's the next step. Give me control over the world's currency, but I care not if there's a United Nations. I control it. There you go. That's the structure. So headquarters in Brussels, Belgium, is this International Monetary Fund supercomputer. And that's where this whole story begins, okay? Where you go, my friend calls me up and said, I'm watching this with Danny Consolero, his murder. I says, oh, my good God. I talked to Danny Consolero many times. I gave him information to Ted Gunderson, the FBI chief. Really? I says, oh, yeah. I spoke to him about 2 months before his death. When I heard he died, I wasn't surprised. And I told him what I'm telling you right now, Ryan. I tell him the same thing. Focus. If you really want to know, don't go after the octopus, these eight individuals. These are eight arms of the octopus. That's not where you focus. You can chop off a tentacle of an octopus with all of its hundreds of suction suckers, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to grow back. That's the nature of this crazy little beast. You got the Michael Reconosciutos, the crazy mad genius joker in the deck. Yeah, he's in federal prison where he's, you know, because he's kind of keeping him safe and monitored there. But, you know, he's too smart to whack. He's a evil genius. But you see how it all kind of fits together in the big picture? So I'm telling, you know, Reconosciuto was interviewed dozens of times by Ted Gunderson at the federal prison. And Gunderson says, every time he would talk to him, Reconosciuto, he would call me up and say, this guy I have to shower. This guy there's just evil about this man. And he says, I'm smart enough to know is a trained investigator and, you know, a top law enforcement officer. He says, I know when they think he's playing me. This guy is darkly evil. All right. Anyway. My conversation with Consolero went something like this. Danny, focus on the money. The root of all evil is the trail. Okay, go back and look at, and this is from sources I've gleaned since the 80s. Okay, you're a fantastic researcher. You're going to write a wonderful book. But to piece it all together, listen, it's not Innslaw and not Thomas Software. I'm telling you, Innslaw pirated it from an existing source computer code that was written in the 70s, for heaven's sakes. And Consuelo say, that's hard to believe. I says, follow it. Okay, there is an IRS, the headquarters of the IRS computer network is right there in Virginia. My sources tell me that's the true source of Promise Software. Sure, Michael Riconosciuto put back doors into it, but the source codes had to be originated to begin with. This is why the Justice Department is not going to pay Innslaw millions of dollars, because it's rooted in fraud. They didn't write the source codes.
Mm-hmm.
And Consuelo was like silent. I said, are you still there? And he goes, my head's spinning right now. I says, the story is exposing Innslaw and Hamilton. I said, follow that. You go in there and you can file just request to come in and get information. You get a computer software expert to come in there and help you analyze what the and how they install this in the computer network of the IRS. It's the heartbeat of the IRS in Virginia there, Mecklenburg or whatever the name of the place is. And he says, oh, my God, that's what we'll tie it all together. When he started going down that part of the octopus den, he realized he's got to go. He's unraveling the entire brain network, which ties back in, believe it or not, to JFK's assassination and the Bush cartel. You understand what's happening here. Because of the power of this octopus, and the fact that JFK came in and finally got full, him and his brother Bobby, they figured it out. We need to disenfranchise the Federal Reserve and the ESF to the Treasury and take back this country. That's why JFK was assassinated. And that's why his son, JFK Jr., was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
It was not accidental. They were murdered. Okay? Oh. So I'm saying this because my friend Chris said, this is this documentary on Netflix. Well, gosh. I said, I got to watch this, because I said, are they talking about Riconosciuto and that? He goes, that's the last of the first episode. I just watched the first. I says, oh, my God. I got to see how they're piecing it together. And so, I mean, all last night I watched and dissected the four episodes. It's on Netflix. Netflix has done a great job with this. I got to tell you, it was a well-done four-part docuseries spanning about 15 years. And they nailed it. Holy mackerel. I just like... I let it go because what can I do? I mean, there is so much of this to piece together, but it's important now, Ryan, at this time and this part of world history, because the final control is coming down the pike through the central bank digital currency. What is the central bank? It's the beast.
Mm-hmm.
The total control of our money without even having dollar bills anymore. It's ultimate control, okay? And this is why it's important for people to listen. Because here is the key part. the beast knows that the one thing that they fear, the one thing they can fear that can erode all of this, is that the sleeping giant can awaken, like Japan after bombing Pearl Harbor. I'm afraid we've awakened a sleeping giant. Yeah, well, the sleeping giant is the American people, the public, the good people. If they waken up to say, wait a minute, it all kind of starts to come together. Who killed JFK? The CIA wants you to believe it's wild and nutty conspiracy theorists. They coined the term conspiracy theorists, you see, to make it sound like it's all nonsense. But no, it's not. It's your very life and your freedom at jeopardy here, folks. That's the bottom line here. Do you want to be at least semi-free and semi-sovereign? Then you better understand what's happening here. This is a culmination of shall we say, conspiratorial men and women since at least the 70s, going back even into the 60s, which is why, you know, if JFK was able to do what him and Bobby set out to do, my goodness, this world would be a totally different place right now. We wouldn't have inflation. We wouldn't have to have people working two and three and even four jobs, both people, to keep mortgages paid. We wouldn't have that because we wouldn't have the beast controlling us. Okay? That's my message for what it's worth. All right? It's a lot there, but listen, in 1962 and 63, America was at its high point. It was at our zenith. I mean, we had, one bread earner, a good person with a fairly good job could pay for a home, put food on the table, and mama could stay home if she wanted to,
mm-hmm.
you know, and be a homemaker. We had a American dream was the top of its zenith in 1963. Okay, at Dealey Plaza when JFK was assassinated and then Bobby was taken out, it's been a downhill spiral ever since. Financially speaking, this country's finances. Just saying. Okay.
And you and I have talked before about some of these topics and how they interconnect. And I argue that you have picked up where Casolaro kind of left off, and not just a little bit. I mean, you've been sending me documents from the CIA. I don't know how far we want to go into some of these memorandums, but the bottom line is, as you have so well put, that as he said in his notes, and that was a very esoteric, in my opinion, killing the way he was in a bathtub. But that was meant to send a signal. But as you've you've put this very well, that there is, in fact, an international secretive cabal of bankers or banksters which suppress any public information that has anything that pulls away the cover of their strategy to enslave mankind. And this has been the case, as you said, since these, they're thugs when it comes down to it. But the bottom line is there is everything fits within this banking organization, which is global in nature. And it seems as if, you know, when people get so in a tizzy over, oh, how's it possible that, I'm kind of worried to use some of these names, but how is it possible that Jamie Dimon was still lending money to Epstein? And how's it possible that all this is going on? But it starts a long time ago. And, you know, this is more than a conspiracy. This is an octopus of global control, as some have put it. And there is very much an organization that's connected to all the tentacles. And this, I think what's really interesting is you've touched on something huge, which is the government spy software. How do we want to attack that angle?
Well, it goes back to what is the computer? Where was it originated? You know, where did it all start? Our Japanese friends and now our Chinese friends, they just kept wrapping it up and wrapping a supercomputer after supercomputer being put online. And so where does it, at what point does it end? The artificial intelligence and the bots and, again, transhumanism is where it ends. Okay, that's the ultimate wet dream of these miscreants, okay? So we go back to, again, where did this software originate? Okay, this is what started the whole thing with Danny Consolero, was the Innslaw so-called problem that made some headline news, that they supposedly, the story goes, they originated a software package called Promise. And the Promise software was, they said, built for one reason, to interface with not only the Justice Department, but all police agencies, law enforcement. It just basically networks law enforcement, you know, to track license plates, to have a central computer system, banking, the bank structures, okay? Well, you got to remember who Hamilton was with Innslaw. He's basically an intelligence agency spook. Now, he had the base codes, and he was able to bring in computer software people to modify it. But it's like taking a Rolls Royce, you know, and modifying it into a more usable vehicle. You still have the Rolls Royce serial number on it, and it still rolls. You can't say it's a new automobile. It's not. And so they were laying this off to the Department of Justice, wanting these multi-millions of dollars in payment for something that was originally pirated. From who? Shows back to the beast. The IRS and the beast of Belgium, Brussels, Belgium. That's where it originates. So why would the Justice Department want to pay a fraudulent spinoff of a Rolls Royce? That's theirs. That's the core of this investigation. So I said to Consolero, I said, you know, when you find out, you go back into the origins. Really, I mean, who built the software computer system there in Virginia at the IRS headquarters? And you find that out, you'll expose the system that Innslaw is just basically, you know, they did modifications. Maybe they should be paid for their modifications for it going into law enforcement. But it's not theirs. They don't own it. And you know, when you think about it, Ryan, the $8 or $9 million should have been, I mean, just pay Innslaw. It's only phony money anyway, but it's the principle of the thing to them. It's, you know, you don't go, believe it or not, in the circles of this organized octopus, there's honor. Okay? There just is. It's crazy. But as long as you have integrity with them in their dealings, even though they're controlling, they will honor that. As weird as that may sound, okay, but you bring pirated software in, they ain't gonna give you jack shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the code. That's their code, and that's what this thing was leading in. And Consolero was fine, you know, working with Reconosciuto and Hamilton and Innslaw. But the minute he started digging into the belly of the beast, which is what this is really going into, literally, the beast computer system, he knew too much, take him out. Goes back to JFK. Okay, and in the third episode of this documentary, okay, you see this this Bob Nichols character who surfaces, cross surfaces in multiple, investigators in the JFK assassination, by the way. So Bob Nichols just basically shares this footage, full color footage, the Zapruder film of the grassy knoll, and he just gloats to forget her name, she's an investigator that's there and part of the documentary. He shows her, look, here's the original footage of the Zapruder film. He slows it down, shows it frame by frame by frame, how the driver of the presidential limousine pulls his gun, turns around and puts a bullet into JFK's head. And then he shows what the public thinks is a Zapruder film. And that footage has been edited, chopped up. And he gloats about it, saying, look, what you think is real is not real because we control the narrative. He's telling her, look how powerful we are. We killed JFK, the sitting president, and we have gotten away with it. Telling her to get her act in line. That was probably the most powerful part of that whole documentary film. Again, it's Netflix documentary. It's called The Octopus Murders. You got to watch that. It's amazing.
And something wild about these, when it comes to national security, you've jumped into some sections that require a little bit of analysis. And the truth is that these guys, at the end of the day, are literally, in my opinion, when we're talking about the financial cabal, they're gangsters. They are thugs, and one way or another, they will get their way. However, they also have the very best of PR and as we mentioned, spyware. And this joins into an interesting narrative of control, which is, and you've had some direct, you've been affected by this, as actually we all probably have without knowing it. But there is spyware that's developed by Israeli cyber arms company NSO Group, which is designed to covertly and remotely install on everyone's mobile phones, iOS, Android, they call it spyware or surveillance to quote unquote fight crime and terrorism. And governments around the world have jumped in onto this. The problem is that this cyber watchdog is created, as you've said, a lot of this software, a lot of these computers, a lot of this technology has been created from its initiation to hold people down, to enslave people, to know everything that's going on. It is not about catching a random bunch of criminals or terrorists, not at all. That is just the forward-facing angle that governments around the world have routinely used to explain why they're doing these things. But as you dig into it, as you have, we realize that money is behind it. And again, like you said, money is the root of all evil. Can we go into that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. It goes back into the spyware being a backdoor tracking device, which is really what the InSlaw and Promise software was all about. Okay, when you enter Michael Reconosciuto, his ability to go in and basically put in backdoors on the Promise software that was tailor-made for the law enforcement. They want backdoors so they can control. And the ultimate control is information control, IT.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where Reconosciuto enters the picture, but it goes back to the whole basic concept. Every single bank, international in scale, whether it's the Nikkan Index or the banks of Japan, and into China, the emerging China giant, which is all again fueled by people in Utah, believe it or not. And then you see this whole thing emerge. It's a supercomputer that can track it all and do all these amazing things. Pine Gap, Tennessee now, Pine Ridge, all of these supercomputers have gone underground to control and mass to follow everything, cell phone, computer, and human being. That's what's happening here. When you look at the NSA and their data collection centers, I mean, good heavens, they built a major one here in Utah. Just incredible quantum computing versus the binary normal computing, high-speed computing. When you go quantum, Ryan, I mean, you don't have the binary, you know, numbers between one and two going back and forth. You go infinite numbers because there's infinite decimal points. And then you go into extra dimensional at that point. Mm-hmm. You enter the realm of the demonic control, and that's what drives AI, period. I have had discussions with people, AI is beneficial. We can control AI. Oh, please. You can't, because there's not a firewall built that can withstand the beast of the supercomputer can track anything. You can manipulate your AI software, no matter how much you think you're smart enough to put a firewall on it.
Big, yeah, it's a big deal, yeah. And, you know, I'm glad that you're going into the history of this, because a lot of people, and sorry to interrupt, a lot of people believe that the internet just happened, that there was like these hundreds of scientific discoveries and achievements and a lot of deep scientific, that it just happened. But that's not the case at all. It started with the DARPANET, which also was referred to as the ARPANET, which stood for the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency Network, which was literally made to implement protocols. But I don't want to get off topic, but 100%. There's a reason why these data centers, so many in real estate, are investing in the creation and building of these massive data centers, which are sucking up tons of electricity. And we have, you know, we have them all over the country, as you said, the largest and probably the most energy consuming of which is right there on the banks of Utah Lake. And operated by the NSA. But the bottom line is people, meaning even private contractors, companies, et cetera, would not be building and creating these things if they did not believe that quantum computing was coming. Because if you look at these things, they dwarf Fort Knox. They're built like, literally, they are built with razor wire fences, massive security systems, and like you said, data is the new gold mine. And they are built, you would swear that you were looking at a place that had nothing but gold bars inside of it, because virtually it does.
But, yes, and you know, the construct of quantum computing, if you look at quantum physics,
mm-hmm.
Okay, you see that this paradigm we call reality or waking reality is really a construct in the ultimate sense of the word. Can a quantum computer alter that reality? The answer is not only yes, hell yes.
Yeah.
It can. And when you start messing with that realm, you have to understand we are not a product of evolution. This is we are the design of a divine and benevolent creator. See, there wouldn't be the reconosciutos and the octopus, the ultimate evil, if they weren't fighting against the ultimate good. See, I have philosophical discussions with pastors all the time. Well, you know, people say that Satan doesn't exist, that evil doesn't exist, that this conspiracy of the promised software and the beast computer, I mean, that's really just out. Oh, really? Go try and take a tour of the data collection center in Point of the Mountain, Utah. Good luck. It exists. It's not figment of anybody's imagination. The question becomes, why do they need this? And by the way, the data collection center is a clearinghouse of all these so-called fusion centers. Now, most people never heard of a fusion center controlled by Department of Homeland Security. As part of the whole agenda of bringing down the Twin Towers, okay, by controlled demolition, the whole thing is to say we're now under attack. We need this Homeland Security. We need these data collection centers, these fusion centers. And they're in every state. Some states have multiple fusion centers depending on your population. So what is a fusion center, Ryan? It's the data collection point. Every party is tied into this, from your the ultimate control of your police, the highway patrol, the state police, all the way through the hospitals, all prescriptions that are picked up or tied into the fusion center. They know exactly what's going on, and that's the data that's mined and then put into the data, the collection centers that are supercomputer controlled, quantum computer controlled. And that's the whole message right now. It is the beast of knowing everything as you know you can control.
You know, it blows me away that the data is there, as you said, and a lot of people have said, well, you know, we are just perpetually in this mining of data with the hopes that eventually there will be the quantum ability to go through it all when we hit this quantum network level running through phase modulated, stabilized interferometer. It gets really, really scientific, but we're not there yet. This is what we're expected to believe while they're building all of these data collection centers. But when you look into DARPA, you realize that even back, you know, in 2002, DARPA had very much a quantum network. And not only a quantum network, but that there have been books written about it. Chip Elliott, an author, wrote in July of 2002 a paper called Building the Quantum Network and Quantum Cryptography in Practice in 2002. Now, keep in mind that they unveiled what they called an entanglement-based receiver named BARB in 2004. And then it kind of goes dark. You don't hear much about it. This is far-fetched conspiracy and science fiction. But the reality is, I believe, in my personal opinion, not that that's, I'm not a scientist, but when you look back and you start looking at some of the key material, it seems as if there may already be those quantum standards in this technology. Otherwise, why would all of this implementation of data collection centers be built? And it makes me wonder how people, you know, like George Orwell knew back in 1949 that we would be quite literally in an authoritarian state. You know, with 1984, he knew that this mass surveillance, this repressive regimentation of people and behaviors would be a part of society. But, you know, again, this was also considered, you know, kind of far out there, science fiction, and a little off the wall. What are your thoughts on data collection, and do you think that we're already in a quantum era?
Well, that's a really good question. That is the core reason. The three-letter question, W-H-Y, why? Right? Why are you doing this? What's the ultimate goal for this? Who's behind it and why? Answer that question, you can unravel it. Why a CERN super collider controlled by the same beast computer? What are they trying to find out? What are they trying to uncover? I submit it's the origin of not only life, but the entire premise of our creator's design for the spiritual kingdom. Because keep in mind, the fallen ones, the angels, the Nephilim, the fallen ones of Genesis 6, their goal is to overthrow God and the creator. that's their agenda. So why? They're looking at going back in, for want of a better term, the matrix of reality, okay? What if everything that we deem as reality is really a matrix computer program, to one of a better way to say it, okay? And what if the control of all this is based on, again, a divine creator that has at his core the love of having people become one with them in understanding, not to surpass them, but become one and unified with them, as in the message of Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, we're not to be greater, as Isaiah said. Can the potter, the pot that's created on the potter's wheel be greater than the pot, the potter that made it? It's no. You need to give honor to the potter, and succumb to the potter's design and will for you, and then you become one with that potter. See the difference? Mm-hmm. Whereas the opposite number says, "Oh no, no, no! I'm gonna overthrow this whole mess." Now, that's where to answer your question. Now, that's where I see the big picture as. They ultimately want to crack the nucleus of the DNA structure, and thus basically go into a black hole of nothingness, because they hate the human structure. These fallen angels hate human beings. They want to destroy the autonomy we have to follow our creator. I think that's the ultimate battle, the ultimate answer. At least that's where I make sense of it myself that way, Ryan. Okay, I'm not trying to be religious here. I'm just trying to be rational and just say why. Answer the question, W-H-Y, why? And to me, it all comes together in peace, and it's found in scriptural prophecy. See, our creator knows the end from the beginning. There's if you want to go down the rabbit hole or the looking glass, look at Project Looking Glass and what happened in Tesla in the early 1940s. He did. He, in fact, by all of his construct, all of his letters, both the OSS was watching him like stink on a bug. I mean, okay, they were concerned because Tesla had indeed solved the riddle of time travel, so to speak. He could see into the future, he could see in the past. And he did, in fact, build a working model. And when he passed away, here's the amazing reality. The head of the OSS that was assigned to basically take over this research lab in Montauk, New York, and freaking underground into Nevada desert, was none other than John Trump, Donald Trump's uncle. Isn't that just a small world? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They bring this all into the 1940s. The origins of Area 51 was formed, and around what they call Project Looking Glass, you see now the formation of all of these things coming together. The quantum world of extradimensionality is where you see the crossovers between flying saucers. Extraterrestrial, no, they're extra dimensionals. Okay, that's the whole secret of Area 51 in a nutshell, right there, Ryan. Okay, so you see these underground military bases. There's one at bottom of Mount Shasta in California. All of these things start to make sense, and you see these so-called grays making manifest in North Las Vegas, and Walpurgis Night. All these things start coming together, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they go underground in the underground water structures, because there are that connections coming in under Mount Shasta, other places as well. See, so yeah, that's where it goes.
And you mentioned the esoteric, and I always, my ears perk up when you do that, because There is such a long history in humanity of this slavery, this money-creating power of the government, or those who govern the minds of the populace, and the invention of debt as money, or these economic cycles, how it has to do with astrology, and, you know, the practice and strategy that these money, that the cabal of money, whatever you want to call them. There's a reason why, you know, there's so much esoteric involvement. And this brings me to, as you mentioned, this guy being murdered, and he was found in a bathtub. And I have to touch on this because, of course, these money banksters, gangsters, the cabal of international banking, let's just call them the cabal of international banksters. Since ancient times, they have had these esoteric implications. And, you know, it's arguable that it all goes back to Solomon's Temple, at least at one point or another. And at Solomon's Temple, of course, there was water involved, these tubs, according to the Hebrew Bible, there was a bunch of them. And inside Solomon's Temple, again, coming back to the fallen angels and the ability of King Solomon to actually communicate with these entities, purportedly, whether you want to call them jinn or fallen angels or anything else, there was an inner court. And they had these baths, the largest of which was placed on the backs of 12 oxen to represent the 12 tribes of Israel, the bloodlines. And interestingly, we have the same thing moving forward when it comes to some of these deaths. We have, you know, a lot of esoteric deaths. We have, of course, Matthew Perry, who died in a hot tub. We have Aaron Carter dead in his hot tub. We have, anyway, it goes on and on. But the bottom line is, when you look at Solomon's Temple and Israel, which is obviously a hot topic right now, the reality is that the temple had what they call chariots of the sun, which Ezekiel even described it as the temple worshipers facing east and bowing to the sun. And some biblical scholars, actually quite a few, have said that these are quite literally solar elements of what may be described as a solar cult, you know, sun worship. And then we ask ourselves why New York City is, of course, the epicenter of the financial districts of this country. And, you know, whether it's De Beers and, you know, how they have to look at their cut diamonds with the early morning sun as it comes over the horizon, very esoteric, or the financial centers themselves, Wall Street, the stock market, etc. It's all on the eastern side of this country, much like the southeastern portion of Solomon's Temple was highly regarded, because that's where you see the light first. That's where you see this speculation, right? This sun cult. It seems as if there is a solarized, esoteric aspect to these bankers' operations. And speaking of the esoteric, did you think that this death of this investigative journalist in a bathtub was meant to send a message?
Well, yeah, let me just touch on that and then talk, you know, I know we're getting short of time and I know more than an hour, but listen, if you look at the first episode of that investigative report, which is well done, we see the paramedic that was there. First of all, he was very candid, very transparent. He said there were eight deep slices on the left hand and four on the right wrist. Okay. It shows pictures of it. Okay. These were deep, deep cuts, cutting tendons. There's no way a person does that, because you cut the tendons, you're not going to be able to cut your other hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And clearly in a bathtub, what does he do? Does he go up and spray himself? You know, spraying all this stuff? No. There's 12 total cuts, which is ritualistic. Okay? In the bathtub, yes, all that definitely has esoteric meaning. ritually. And again, going back to who Danny Casolaro, he's from a good Catholic family, just like JFK, you know, Roman Catholic, a good family man. He had to make a sacrifice of. And those that are in the cult knows it was a sacrifice. Like saying, mm-hmm. Well, do you realize that the ancient biblical city of Nineveh has been fully excavated? The cuneiform tablets, it's basically in modern-day Iraq, right? The Nineveh, the British Museum did all the studies, and yes, it was a sun, heliocentric sun god worshiping center, Nineveh. They had the high place to Chemosh, their god, Baal, was established where the first rising sun, they had their worshiping going on there. It involved esoteric magic mushroom usage. They can get their extra dimensional visions. All the high priests did all of this. So this is, you know, it's not nothing new under the sun, is what I'm saying. They've just reached the zenith of technology. That, you know, that they, it's the same demons of antiquity, Ryan. It's just different times. New age, old demons. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does. And, you know, I think you're right. It's just repackaged, rebranded, and the same playbook, just new names, new players. And it's interesting because Solomon's Temple is so highly regarded, specifically by mystery schools, secret societies, and other occult organizations. But what a lot of them fail to mention is that these were mass sacrificial sites. You know, there were mass sacrifices of animals, and that's what we know of. And there was also some really interesting magic taking place. And the truth is that the invention of debt as money is money magic, and everybody's sort of bought into this. Oh, don't worry, the CPA will handle it. Now, you know this more than any. You're involved in this. You have been involved with this. And for years, you've delved into this. But there is this economic style of, financial discrepancy, in my opinion, where people are just taught, you work hard, you save your receipts, you send it to the CPA, and don't worry about it. It all will come out in the wash. And the reality is that there is an alchemy. There's an alchemy of finances going on behind the scenes that many people are unfamiliar with. You know, they don't understand tax code. They don't understand, as you mentioned earlier, and I think it's important to mention again, how when you look into the Federal Reserve and the Internal Revenue Service, both being created in 1913, and when you realize that we really don't need to be taxed, we were initially taxed to fund the Civil War, and that came and went. And then all of a sudden, we have this scenario where we were kind of brought up, I was brought up, believing that taxation, it seems appropriate given the time of year, but taxation is the way that you fund your government. And the reality is that the government is funded by treasury bonds. And then you look at the treasury bonds and you realize that the Fed is actually who is purchasing these treasury bonds. And these are the same guys that are printing the money. And you start to realize, oh, wait a minute. You come to the conclusion that we may be dealing with something that nobody understands and is kind of a shell game. And it seems,
absolutely.
Doesn't it appear that way to you?
Oh, absolutely. That goes back to what I said at the beginning of the podcast, the Exchange Stabilization Fund, the ESF, and not one in 10,000 people know how it works.
That's the truth.
And so, yeah, you do all this bonds, which were like bonds, bondage, slavery, bonds, mm-hmm. All of these things is where it comes out of. You look at, again, the esoteric, just look at the symbolism on the back of the George Washington $1 U.S. Federal Reserve note. You got the all-seeing eye of Horus on the top of the pyramid temple. Okay? Horus and Anubis, the Egyptian god of the dead, jackal-headed god of the underworld. Okay? Oh my goodness, we can spend a whole other podcast on this.
I know. Yeah.
But yeah, it's there's the Egyptian hieroglyphics show Anubis, or how you want to say it, as being this. Look at the ratio of when you have the hieroglyphics or even the paintings. The thigh bone of Anubis, you know, measuring the scales. The scales of balance, which is again goes back to Inslaw, this esoteric symbol of Inslaw and the Promis Sulphur to begin with, the scales, right? You look at this, the weighing the scales of Anubis, the normal Egyptian priest is basically the length of his thigh bone. This guy is, Anubis is a giant. He's 12 to 14 feet tall with the head of a jackal. Well, that's the depiction of these extra-dimensional watchers. So there it is.
I mean,
that's where it all comes down to, Ryan.
Yep. From ancient Babylon to our current AI transhumanism, you covered all the bases. We need to delve into this stuff more. I know we've gone over a bit. Thanks so much for coming on. And True, can you tell listeners about Mother Earth Minerals, all the great products you offer, and anything else you might have in the works?
Well, we got lots of things going on. I have to do another podcast going back into these special glasses that was formed by a contemporary of Tesla, formed these special blue glass frames, and you can actually see these things. The John Carpenter movie They Live, I mean, that's real. The glasses are real, okay? And what happens when you start training your eyes and the optical nerve, guess what happens to your brain? It starts to expand its capacity. You don't stay at 8 or 9 or maybe 10%. I would refer people to the movie called Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't subscribe to the you know, Darwinism of the nonsense there, but the actual story of what the brain can do at 20% or 25% capacity is very, very accurate. So by all means, government needs to outlaw this special cut glass eyesight. You can't have people expanding their brain. And I just want to say, quit taking sodium fluoride into your body, because that calcifies the pineal frontal lobes. You won't be able to see a thing if you're so sucked into fluoride, I'm telling you. But anyway, Mother Earth Minerals is my company. I've been talking about this, researching this, ways to get free of the mind control, the health services. Mother Earth Minerals is meminerals.com is my website. And I got to say, in closing, people say, well, look at this Illuminati logo, this corporate seal of Mother Earth Minerals. I designed that for a specific reason, folks, okay, that the global Earth is breaking out of its hypnotic darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth, it's designed to be the glow of golden truth breaking through the veil of control. That's the logo. So just whatever you say, it's not Illuminati. Okay, it's not the. It is my symbol saying, "Hey, I'm on to you guys. We're breaking through in knowledge and love and understanding." That's it. Okay, thanks for having me, Ryan. Golly, it's been fun.
Thank you, True. Appreciate you as always, and can't wait till we can talk again. Have a blessed one.
You too, my friend. Be well. Be safe.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The one, the only, True Ott. And I'll tell you what, he's right. In the quest for the Philosopher's Stone, there are light workers and dark workers. Unfortunately, as we know, bad publicity gets the lion's share of the narrative. And you can't have one without the other. You can't have darkness without light. And unfortunately, when it comes to the Illuminati, you know, his symbol that he mentioned there, you know, everybody sees these things as, oh, that's evil. Well, there is a yin and a yang to everything. I argue that in the quest for knowledge, You're going to have those who want to enslave mankind, and you're going to have those who want to free mankind, if only his thinking, which often is enough. And if you're open-minded enough, that can take place. As a little reality in my life, his products at Mother Earth Minerals, quite literally, my wife had some issues that, to be completely honest with you, had me worried about her safety, her livelihood. And I went to Mother Earth Minerals. I purchased the minerals, vitamins, etc., that Dr. Truott recommended. She took them, and nothing short of a miracle took place. So definitely check it out. You can see that at meminerals.com. That's one word, meminerals.com. That will take you to Mother Earth Minerals. And the best, purest vitamins and minerals and supplements you can imagine are over there. No garbage. But that's my own personal deal and experience with his products and his knowledge. My wife was in a bad way. And unfortunately, when we follow, you know, the mass media and the narrative control of what we should put in our bodies, sometimes we make decisions that are not the best. And I argue that there's a way to come back from all that. And some of the products on his website have 100% convinced me that yes, you can become healthy no matter what you've put in your body. You can detoxify and you can get better. Anyway, always a pleasure to talk to Dr. Truott. And until next time, head on over to happinessmedical.com. I've got a link below that actually goes to meminerals.com. So you can access it there as well. Just go to happinessmedical.com. Scroll down, you'll see the minerals section, vitamins, supplements. You can click on that. That will take you directly to that site. Until next time, keep your eyes to the skies, feet on the ground, but don't forget to take a look around.
Rainbow Esoteric Research Organization.
Hero paranormal, always setting up the pace, man. Crop circle tipping,
Illuminati still tripping.
Making those ears perk up, gonna make you question your earth.
You better.
Mystery bloodlines and secret society. Creepy shapeshifter sitters come sit beside me.
Yeah, go feel that.
Swords with all these spiral,
acting like UFOs.
So we put space wolf tiptoe through the dark, third eye blinding, tune in and blast off, blast off.
Blast off, baby.
Blast off.